class per se has ended on the last things, but obviously we didn't make it through the book of Revelation, so I'd like to continue to hit some high points in it. Revelation 15 here. Revelation 15. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Revelation 15 and verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? I want you to remember that part right there. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Remember that. For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven what? Golden vials full of what? The wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So we've looked at the seal, the seven seal judgments. Then we looked at the seven trumpet judgments. And these are called the vial judgments. V-I-A-L. Vial as in like a science, you know, those gold, or gold, think of that there, the clear glass vials. So these are vials filled with the wrath of God to be poured out. So vial judgment number one, and that's in Revelation 16, verses 1 and 2. Vial judgment number one is a grievous sore upon all who take the mark of the beast. 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways, and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. The word noisome is used there. It says, there fell a noisome and grievous sore. This word, Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines as noxious to health, hurtful, injurious, offensive to the smell or other senses. So it's noxious. It's harmful to the health, the sore. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. Why did people take that mark in the first place? Or why will they? Well, you look in chapter 13 and verse 16. Chapter 13, 16. We're going to see here why they were willing to take the mark. 13, 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might what? Buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So why are people willing to take this mark? It's because it'll be easier to buy or sell, because without it, it's going to be very difficult. You're going to have to do like the black market to buy things. So they take the mark thinking that it's going to make life easier. You know, if it's against the law to buy or sell without the mark, obviously it's going to make life easier, in their thinking, to take it. But you know, often in life, the way of ease is not the right way. Lot chose the well-watered plain of Jordan. The life of ease for a cattleman, you own all the property adjoining the river's edge. It's lush and green. Your uncle gets the high ground, the drier ground. A life of ease did not prove out to be the best life for Lot in the end. And such it is in Scripture. So it will prove not to be a good choice to take the mark. Because they're back there in chapter 16, 1 and 2. Upon those people who take the mark, there will fall this noisome and grievous sore. Well, it goes right into the second vile judgment, verse 3, Revelation 16, 3. Vile judgment number 2 is the sea becomes blood and everything in it dies. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of what? A dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. I called an undertaker. Years ago, I was preaching on the book of Revelation, and I called an undertaker and I said, the Bible says here the sea is going to become as the blood of a dead man. And I said, what does that mean? What is the blood of a dead man like? And he said, well, the blood separates. And it goes, it's like when they use a spear and pierce Jesus' side, there came out blood and water. The blood separates. People with congestive heart failure have retention of fluid, and it's like I guess it's like a bottle of ketchup or like a bottle of maybe salad dressings or maybe a jar of peanut butter, the real natural stuff. When it settles, what happens? Well, clear part comes to the top, doesn't it? Heavier parts settle to the bottom. Well, the sea is going to be like that. It's going to become as the blood of a dead man. Things are going to separate in it. And everything in the sea is going to die. Everything. Now, you recall back in an earlier judgment, judgment fell upon the sea. Do you remember how much of the sea was affected? A third of it. Okay? Hold your place again. Turn to chapter 8 in verse 8. So, in that previous judgment, a third, and remember we talked about the Pacific Ocean is a little over a third of the oceans of the world. So, we talked about if that judgment hit the Pacific Ocean, most of it would be, everything in it would die. And we talked about if it hit the Atlantic isn't quite a third of the world's ocean, so it would have to affect maybe the Indian Ocean. As well, if God puts it over there. But in chapter 8 and verse 8, Revelation 8:8, and the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the what? Third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the sea, of the creatures which were in the sea and had life, died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now here it says the sea became blood, but it doesn't say the blood as of a dead man. So it becomes blood, but not the same as in chapter 16 and verse 3. And this time, everything in the sea dies. Now you remember when the plague of the frogs came upon Egypt, and Pharaoh asked them to be removed, and so the Lord caused all the frogs to die. And do you remember what it said of the land after that? It stank. All right. Now, can you imagine? How many of you have ever been over to Lake Michigan when it smells like dead fish? Yeah. Can you imagine what the oceans are going to be like? Oh, what a horrible smell. Everything in the ocean dies. Can you imagine what the beaches are going to be like with all of these dead carcasses washing up? The water is just going to be putrid and smell. So you notice these judgments get worse and worse as we go. So in chapter 16, verse 4, we have vile judgment number 3. Vial judgment. 3, the fresh water now becomes blood. Revelation 16:4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became what? Blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. So, and recall in the previous judgment upon the fresh water, remember the previous judgment upon the sea, a third of the sea, the ships were destroyed, the animals destroyed in the third. And remember in chapter 8, verse 10, a third of the fresh water was also affected. 8:10, Revelation 8:10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So the fresh water, chapter 16 back here, the fresh water now becomes blood. It does not say a portion anywhere, so we assume, just like with the sea, it all became blood. We assume at this point that all fresh water now becomes blood as well. Judgment number 4, and let's go to Revelation 16:8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to what? Scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and what? Blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they what? Repented not to give him glory. Now, when you think of that, hold your place and go back to 15:4, Revelation 15:4. Remember what I said about the first part of this verse? Don't forget it. 15:4 says, Who shall not what? Fear thee, O Lord, and what? Glorify thy name. Well, anyone in their right mind would, but back there in 16:9, men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. They didn't glorify it, which hath power over these plagues. And they what? Repented not to give him what? Glory. So anyone in their right mind would. These people are being tormented and they still blaspheme his name and will not repent. Now, what do these things remind you of here? The waters turn to blood. In the previous plague, the water, it said, turned to blood and wormwood, and many people died from it. In this plague, where all the fresh water is turned to blood, it just simply makes reference to in verse 6 that, For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. So it almost sounds like they drink it. It's not referred to as wormwood here, like the previous plague was. It doesn't say about whether these people die this time from it or not. I mean, people, Satanists today drink blood. Many years ago, I heard a missionary from Papua New Guinea saying that that was one of their delicacies over there was pigs, and drinking the blood of pigs was like supposedly the most honor to be able to do that. So people do such a gross thing today, which of course is forbidden by God in Leviticus 17:11, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. But you think about these plagues here. The waters turn to blood, so people are going to be thirsty. And now this great heat. What is this portraying? What is this a small picture of? Even it's not really a small picture, but a picture of these people's future to come. Thirst in hell. torment in hell, scorched by the sun, scorched by the fire in hell. If you hold your place here, let's look at Luke 16. I mean, no one will ever be able to say to God, God, you didn't give me a chance. I didn't know what was coming. Oh, yes, they did. They got a taste of it right there. The thirst and the fire, the torment, and they still would not turn to God. Luke 16:22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in what? Torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool what? My tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So the thirst, the torment. Well, back in Revelation 16, they still will not repent. Verse 9. They repented not to give him glory. So that was vile judgment number 4. The sun scorches men with fire. Vile judgment number 5. The kingdom of the beast is full of darkness. Revelation 16:10. 16:10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. So his headquarters. And his kingdom was what? Full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. So back, we talked about this Sunday night. You know, when some of our senses are not needed, other senses become more sensitive. It's like if you approach Dan Gibson, he's blind. But he'll know you're there. He'll listen. He'll hear your footsteps come up. He will hear your clothes rustle as you're rubbing, as you're walking, moving your arms. He may hear you cough. He may hear you turn a page. He may just hear you laugh or chuckle at what somebody else said. He will know you're there. By what? His hearing. His hearing he uses so much more than we do. We depend upon our eyes more than our hearing. At times, at least when it's light. When it's dark, that might be a different story. But why was this such a plague? Just darkness come upon the seat of the kingdom here, of the beast kingdom. They gnawed their tongues for pain. Well, it's like we talked about this. You know, when you lay down in bed, it gets dark. So your sense of seeing, you don't really need. And when it gets dark, you know, you still do hear. You listen in that way. But if it's quiet, you're not paying too much attention to your sense of hearing. Your sense of taste, as we mentioned the other day, at night, you know, that sense is normally not needed. So all of our senses are kind of tuned out. Our eyes, our ears, our nose, our taste. But in this situation here, the sense of touch, it's dark. And you think back to what happened to these people. They have been scorched by fire from the sun. So they're burnt. I don't know if you've ever been burnt. You probably have been, at least in a small way, maybe not real serious burn. But just how sore it is and how relentless the pain is from a burn. And so darkness comes upon the kingdom. And these people, now just like with a child at night, when you're a parent, you think, why do our children always get sick at night? Or, you know, why are they saying, well, my tummy hurts or my ear hurts or something else hurts at night? Well, it's because their attention, all their other senses are kind of turned mostly off, and it's just now pain just becomes magnified. So it's like we talked about, the brain has all these fiber optics going to it, you know, all these channels of signals coming to it. And then so when most of them are shut down, just the brain is focusing on one thing that's saying, help, 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 I hurt, I hurt, I hurt. And so a child just brings it up then. I hurt, Daddy or Mommy, help me. So, but what do? In verse 11, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and what? Repented not of their deeds. They just would not repent. Then you go to vile judgment number 6. The Euphrates River is dried up. Revelation 16:12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Now you remember in a previous plague, something else happened with the Euphrates River. Do you remember what it was? If you go back to... get the right reference here. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. It's interesting how the Euphrates River plays a great part in these end time events in the book of Revelation. Revelation 9:14. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose what? The four angels which are bound where? Great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. I wonder where those angels are right now. They're bound in the Euphrates River. I wonder where. No one knows except God. But when they are released, they will slay, they'll kill a third part of the people on the earth. So let's go back to Revelation 16:17. Excuse me. Whoops, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Well, that was the seventh one. 16:12. So, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of who? The kings of the east might be prepared. So the Euphrates River is going to dry up at this dumping of this vial, and the reason is because it's going to prepare a way for the kings of the east to march toward Israel to a great battle. What is this battle? Let's read on. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working what? Miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, what? Armageddon. So, let me see here. We'll stop there next, because the next verse is the seventh angel. But so that's the battle of Armageddon. It's at the end of the tribulation period. That sixth vial dries up the Euphrates River, the kings of the east. We know that China is to the east, and they have a massive army compared to any other armies in the world. They have a massive amount of people. North Korea, actually, you think of as a small little nation, but they have a massive army. And so the kings of the east are going to come against Jerusalem in that battle of Armageddon. So now let's look at the seventh vial judgment. So we've looked at three sets of seven judgments. This is the last. This is the 21st. Judgment right here. 16, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came what? A great voice. The bottom line is that God spoke this world into existence, and one day he's going to speak it out of existence by his word. And interestingly, the very final judgment is the power of his word. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, what? It is done. When Jesus died on the cross, he said what? It is finished. Now, toward the end of the tribulation period, he's saying it is done. That is, his wrath is poured out. Verse 18. And there were voices and thunder. So when he speaks, thunder and lightnings. When he speaks, and there was a great what? Earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. I don't know what that'll be on the Richter scale, but it'll be greater than any. Verse 19, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Can you imagine an earthquake so great that the cities across the world crumble? And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Verse 20, and every what? Island fled away. Can you imagine such an earthquake? No doubt that earthquake is going to cause tidal waves. And every island is going to be gone. Every island. And the what? The mountains were not found. Can you imagine an earthquake so great that it knocks down every mountain on earth? You talk about shaking this world. What caused it? This voice. Out verse 17. God's voice. Verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. We don't really know exactly how to transfer that to our weight system. I've read everything from 50 pounds to 100 pounds. People associate a talent with our system of measurement, our system of weight. So I don't know, but they're going to be huge. Every stone about the weight of a talent. And men, what? Blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. We have three where we're specifically told they repented not and they blasphemed God. Three saying they blasphemed him, three different places. Two places saying they blasphemed his name and repented not. And obviously in this verse, even though it says they does not say that they repented, they did the same thing. So they were not repenting. They blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. So no one is going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't have a chance. I didn't have a chance. These people right here go through excruciating torments, and they will not repent. Instead of calling upon that blessed name that we love, Jesus, they'll blaspheme his name. So that is the 21st of the plagues. And no repentance. And so it makes us think. Let's go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3:8. No one will be able to accuse God. All those people, they will not be able to stand before God one day or cry out to him saying, but we didn't know that the torment was going to be like this. Oh, is that so? We didn't know there's going to be fire in hell. Is that so? You would not repent. You would not respond to me when the sun scorched you with fire. When they cry out in the darkness of hell, you would not respond to me in the darkness of the plague. God gave all these people a taste of all these aspects of hell. They would not repent. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God has been so patient. In fact, he is so patient that some people say, well, he doesn't even care about all this evil. Yes, he does. But it's verse 8, or verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that who? Any should perish, but that who? All should come to repentance. It goes back to Ephesians 3:19, which we looked at. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So it's knowing his love. What is his love like? Long-suffering. not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So may we continue to plead with them while there is time, that they might be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who was God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose in victory because his blood was enough to pay for all our sins. Father, I pray if there should be any here tonight that have not yet repented and by faith received Jesus Christ, I pray that they would flee from the wrath to come and would receive the Lord Jesus this very night and ask him to save them. Lord, I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, help us not to stumble over the exterior appearance, the outward appearance of people, because they are all souls for whom you died. So please help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.